Welcome to Bible Insights with Wayne Conrad. The entrance of your words bring light. They impart understanding to the simple. So said the psalmist. And it's true. When we read God's word, we pray to the Spirit of God, and we read God's word in the context in which it is written. It brings light. It brings revelation. It brings understanding. And even the simple, those who simply trust God's living word, can understand it. I want to share such a scripture with you today. It's found in 2 Timothy, where Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 to his friend Timothy. He says, beginning at verse 9, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the New American Standard Bible. Or here's the same text in the NIV. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is a glorious passage of Scripture. It proclaims that Jesus is the one who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, we have considered in the past that God is the only immortal being in all the universe. That is, that he had no beginning and he will have no end, and there is never really a change within him because he is perfect in all of his ways. He is the Almighty Holy One, the Eternal, who has always been and always will be. Whereas creatures have a beginning, and that includes mankind. That was done when God created Adam and then Eve in the garden. And from them has descended all of humankind. But humankind is born mortal. That is, because of the fall of Adam, because of sin, mankind dies. All of us will die. We have a ticking bomb, as it is, within us, in which our bodies will die. Our souls, our spirits, are born dead because they're without the life of God, and our bodies will die. Even Adam's and Eve's body ultimately succumbed to physical death. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come to reverse the fall for those who believe in him, for those who trust in him. Now, Jesus is proclaimed as the Prince of Life, that is, the one who is the author of life in the gospel narratives. For instance, in Acts 3, verses 14 and 15, we read in Peter's sermon, "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." So Jesus Christ is the Prince of Life. He's the one that God raised from the dead. And when God the Father raised Jesus the Son from the dead in his physical body, that body was transformed. It is now an immortal body in which Christ, the incarnate one, will always be. For he was made a bodied being in the incarnation. Now, why did he become man? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that is, he became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So now Paul then informs us in 2 Timothy 1:10 that this Christ Jesus has abolished death, and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What does that mean? I want to explore what that means, and I want us to do so by considering just a couple of phrases, basically. One is, when does eternal life begin, according to the Bible? When does eternal life begin? And how is or where is eternal life found? Well, the scriptures are very plain about that. Eternal life is in Christ Jesus. And those who have a union with him, a faith life union with him, through the working of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, and through us by that enablement of the Holy Spirit, depositing our faith in him, we come into the possession of eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 5 that whenever we believe in him, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We move from the kingdom where death reigns into the kingdom where life is. Listen to this passage of scripture, John chapter 10, in verse 10. I am come, says Jesus, that they, he's talking about his sheep, those who hear his voice and believe him, I am come that they may have life, that they may have it fully, abundantly. So Jesus came and died and rose so that we might have eternal life. And eternal life is given to us as a result of our union with him. Jesus made this declaration in John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And 1 John adds this testimony. This is the beloved apostle John. He writes in 1 John 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And Jesus had proclaimed in John 6, 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So he came in this body of flesh in order to be the sacrifice for our sins. So he was put to death on our behalf, assuming to himself our guilt and our sins and our transgressions. He paid the penalty and he removed them from us. At the incarnation, the Word became flesh. He took on humanity without sin, but in its fallen condition of immortal bodies that could die and would die as the atoning sacrifice. Jesus stated in quoting Psalm 40, as quoted in Hebrews 10, a body have you prepared for me. There's another related term I want us to consider, and that is the term that Jesus is the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep, that he is the firstborn of or from the dead. Now, this is an important phrase, and it carries a great truth to us. It's related to this bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let me read the text. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Revelation 1:5 makes this statement. The revelation is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. In Colossians 1:18, the Apostle Paul writes, and he, that's Jesus, the Christ, he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So what does all this mean, that he's the firstborn from the dead? Well, remember, this is talking about Jesus in his incarnate state as the incarnate Son, the incarnate Word. He had a body that was mortal. He was put to death in his crucifixion, but he was raised immortal. And in that sense, he is the firstborn from the dead. And when we are raised from the dead, we will be raised in like manner, with a body like unto his. So he's the firstborn from the dead in this sense. And those who follow after him will also have an immortal body that will be made for the eternal habitations. Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul adds this great revelation. "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass that saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" See, human beings can only have immortality only through Christ and only through the resurrection from the dead, according to the pattern set by Jesus in his resurrection. Now, this is a bestowed immortality that begins at a point in time, but then will last forever. So a bestowed body, soul, spirit, eternal life, unending in a perfect condition for dwelling on the perfect earth. So when we talk about the immortality that Christ brings to light through the gospel, its primary reference is to the body of the resurrection. As far as our spirit is concerned, the spirit which grants a life, and it is eternal life from the moment that we believe. So God has called us. He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. But he reveals that. He manifested it through the ministry, the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who in his death and resurrection abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have a glorious gospel to proclaim. Here's Hebrews 2:14. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, the Messiah, Jesus, partook of the same things, the same kind of body, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Here's another question. When does eternal life begin? I've already answered that question, but I want to follow it up with statements of Scripture that tell us exactly when eternal life begins. Jesus said to Martha in John 11, when Lazarus had died and he came there to comfort them and then raise Lazarus from the dead, he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? So I asked you, do you believe this? For this is what Jesus said. John 5, verse 24. Jesus speaking, he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of God. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tomb will hear his voice." Did you notice what he said? That those who now believe in him do not, will not come into judgment or condemnation. They have passed from death to life. They've been raised spiritually from the grave, and they have been granted eternal life, a life that shall never end, for it is in union with Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could affirm in Romans 8 that nothing, not even death, could separate him from the love of God Hosea said, I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol. I shall redeem them from death. O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from mine eyes. Now Paul quotes this in 1 Corinthians 15. For this perishable body must put on imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that was written in Hosea 13:14. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now Isaiah had a prophecy of this. He gave it in Isaiah 25. And he talks about the Messiah, the Son of Man, coming. And when he comes, it says he will swallow up on this mountain. That's the mountain of God's presence, the Mount Zion. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that's cast over all people, the veil that's spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For Yahweh has spoken. And it shall be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. This is Yahweh. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come that we might have life, that we might have life abundant, life eternal, and life immortal. We have it now in our spirits from the moment we believe, but we shall have it in the great day of his return when we shall be raised immortal in bodies like unto his glorious resurrection body. And we shall live and dwell with him forever on the new heaven and the new earth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This has been Wayne Conrad with Bible Insights.